Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
So welcome, everyone. My name, of course, is Mark Johnston, and this is the Thriving Marriage podcast. So as you might have noticed, I do not have Heather with me this week, but still excited to share with you our topic. We are going to be talking about, of course, how to get the attention of your spouse again, even if they don't want anything to do with you. Perhaps your spouse wants out. Perhaps they are having an affair. Perhaps they're saying that they're done. Perhaps time really isn't on your side. So the question that we really want to talk about today is, well, how do we get their attention if they're really pulling away hard from that? Now, before we get to that, I want to talk about our client win of the week. And I'm going to pull this directly from one of my sessions that I've had within the last week. So, of course, you know, as many of you know, I, of course, work with many of the people here in our audience. So what was interesting here, what I really liked about this situation, I'm leaving names out because I haven't spoken with this person about, permission and sharing. But here was a couple who they had worked hard and everything was getting better. They were telling me that things were good. They were enjoying each other's company. They were talking together again. They wanted things to work. Now, at this point, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to run through a checklist. Let's make sure that everything is running smoothly, that they have all the tools they need to move on without me. And even that seemed fine. Now, where the win comes in is that, you know, some weeks later, I see them pop up in my schedule again. Now, this, you know, might seem like an odd win, but the win that I'm counting here is that they ran into some trouble. There's some arguments again, and they decided to address that sooner rather than later. Instead of saying, okay, we've got this, they wanted to make sure that everything was settled, that everything was running smoothly, instead of just saying, okay, let's just move on. We'll figure things out. So part of the win here is that, or part of the thing that was going on with this couple is that they had gotten into certain patterns of arguments. Typically, the wife would complain a whole lot about what her husband was doing. The husband would feel attacked. He would shut down and back away. And this would make the wife more upset. And they noticed that they were falling back into this pattern. So here's the point here. The reason why I share this is that it's always, always, always a good idea to, you know, even if you feel like you're doing well, to take some time to really check in with the state of your relationship, to make sure that things are really actually healthy and that problems aren't just being swept under the rug, which is why a lot of people in our audience actually gets to the point of huge relationship troubles in the first place. They sweep the problems under the rug. So I'm counting this as a win for my client who decided to not sweep problems under the rug, to recognize that they were falling into some old patterns even after a few weeks, and that they wanted some help with adjusting that. So the topic of discussion today: attention. How do you get the attention of your husband or wife even when they're heading out the door? So here's the thing. Many, many individuals come to me to talk about why their marriage might be ending. And certainly, I do recognize that there are a lot of cases where there are huge problems, that there are huge mistakes. But I would say that the vast majority of the even these mistakes and these problems come about because the relationship itself has been mistreated or neglected, tends to be the second one. Women will tend to report to me that their husbands have lost interest in how they feel. Maybe they've become distant, maybe they've become preoccupied with work. They're unable to maintain that close emotional relationship or provide that really in-depth companionship that they crave. Husbands might report that their wives have become preoccupied with children or running of the household or their own careers. Some complain that their wives maybe have let go of themselves and that sex has slowly become less interesting, less frequent. They get a sense that their wife isn't really even interested in them. In both of these cases, it's a slight variation on very similar things. Both the husband or the wife in these stereotypical examples are looking for passion and connection and companionship, someone to be there for them, someone that's interested in them, someone who wants to be there in the relationship. Now, when this is the issue, one of the reasons to pull away is to get ahead of the game before they can no longer find and pursue a fulfilling relationship outside of the marriage. That might be one reason they say, okay, I can no longer have this passion or connection or companionship or fulfillment within my own marriage. Other times they need to build up the reason to leave. They start to justify their reason to leave and they say, well, not only was I neglected, but you were also mean and you were also unkind and whatever, or you're nagging and whatever it happens to be. But even a lot of those complaints there, where they are bringing up problems, tends to only come about because at some point the relationship was neglected. In comes some ability to start looking at the relationship in a different way. It's not fulfilling. There aren't these positive pieces to it. And so it becomes easier to notice all the negative parts, all the negative quirks that your spouse might have. And as a little bit of that passion or connection or companionship leaves, there's less incentive to work for that relationship and it spirals. So in these situations, in most every single relationship that I encountered, these things were in the relationship at the beginning, as in there was interest and there was passion and there was love and there was depth of the relationship. And you understood that your partner wanted to be there with you, that you were interesting to them. Now, each person thought that the other was an interesting person and an ideal companion enough so that they decided to commit to this relationship. So over the years, then, does this mean that people made a mistake in their choice of companion? Obviously, if you're listening to me, there's probably some issues. It probably means that a lot of these attributes, that passion and connection, isn't there anymore. It's faded away. Does that mean that you've made a mistake in your choice of partner? Does it simply mean that you chose the wrong companion? And I would say a lot of people come to this conclusion. They say, okay, I don't feel this anymore. My partner neglected me. They were unkind. Obviously, that means I've chosen the wrong person to connect to commit to. And while I will agree that there are some couples who probably did make mistakes in choosing the right companion, maybe they should have taken more time in getting to know the person before fully committing. or maybe they should have really established their values well, they should have learned some relationship skills better. But I believe the vast majority of couples out there made perfectly fine decisions in committing to their relationships. That there was genuine love and interest, there was genuine passion and connection. So what happens? Now, it's no coincidence that in most societies that there is a large decrease in life satisfaction on average. Basically, if you look at the chart in terms of life satisfaction, you'll see this chart going along. And then at about age 26 or so, it starts dipping down, dipping down, dipping down. And it like hits bottom, like in the 30s or 40s or so. And then it doesn't start coming up again until about 50, age 50. Now I'm going to point out some things here. I would say that the vast majority of the people that I encounter, this is not everyone, but the vast majority, are probably seeing me to get help with their relationship in this period of time here, somewhere in their mid to late 20s upwards to about 50. Very, very seldomly. And I would say it's probably much more like around 30 to 50. I'm not saying that that's everyone. There are outliers, but I very rarely see anyone having super huge relationship troubles in their early 20s, in mid 20s, perhaps, you know, when everything's getting started. And I very rarely see people above, say, age 60, you know, largely, I would say after age 50, but I still do see some people in their 50s. Why? Why is there this huge drop in satisfaction in that time period? Now, this is a time when most people are building their careers. They're having children. They're focusing on building up the family. In other words, couples stop remembering why they got together. They lose the we in the relationship and instead focus on homework, soccer practice, climbing the ladder, gaining education, etc. Which is really interesting because the whole reason why they got married in the first place was because all of you were supremely interested in this one person enough so that you decided to spend, you thought, okay, maybe I can spend the rest of my life with this person. And why I find this interesting is when these other factors come along, these other responsibilities, what tends to happen is the person that you should be the most interested in, that should get the most attention, have the most consideration, tends to get put further and further down on the totem pole, the priority list. And it's felt, you know, in the stereotypical examples I gave, the wife feels emotionally disconnected and abandoned, and the husband might even feel physically disconnected and abandoned, or that, but neither one is really feeling that connection, that fulfillment from the relationship. And a large piece of this is because less attention and focus is given to the relationship. So what do we do about this? If the issue is, we become preoccupied with other things, with children and work, and this, you know, all these extra responsibilities basically brings down our ability to be satisfied, our happiness. And, you know, this really points out like where we're unhappy with our relationships. What do we do about this? What do we do if your spouse is out the door? They say, I've been neglected long enough. I haven't had this long enough. It's just been pain long enough. How do we actually get your spouse to be interested in you? $1 million question here. Largely, I would say, now I'm not going to pretend like I have a silver bullet here. Anyone out there who pretends that they have the one answer out there that will solve everything is probably lying to you. But I will say that a large piece of this is about positive attention. Now, notice I didn't say something. I didn't say several things. I didn't say needy attention. I didn't say desperate attention. I didn't say whiny attention or complaining attention. I didn't say heavy fixing the relationship attention or you need to work on this with me attention. Didn't say those things. This is largely about confident attention, low pressure attention, light and fun attention. You know, I want you to, you want to think back to when you were first dating your partner, first married to your partner. What did your interactions look like? I imagine that a large part of it was not you telling them what they needed to do differently, complaining about their faults. I bet it wasn't about you telling them that how they couldn't go out and do things, you know, things that they wanted to do because you had to have them right there with you, you know, that desperation. I bet it wasn't about how mean they are to you, how they are neglecting you, how they're not being nice to you. A lot of that sort of attention probably did not exist in the early stages of your relationship. Now we might say, okay, well, that's just the nature of early relationships. You're in this limerence phase where you're all the hormones are raging and you're madly in love and it's this passionate sort of situation. But there's something to learn from that stage of the relationship. That positive attention that is confident and low pressure and generally light and fun is something that's very attractive. It's a sort of situation that you want to be in. Further, you might argue, well, but we have the kids and we have the career and we have all these responsibilities. Why won't he needs to help me with these things or she needs to help me with these things? Sure. That may be the case. My wife and I'm going to give an example. My wife and I do talk about responsibilities, about making sure that things are taken care of, that our children are fed and clothed and are put to bed on time and that they have enriching activities and all of that. But you know what? One of the things that I really love about my marriage with Jen is that we are very sure to take time to be with the other person in a pleasant sort of way. You know, we take time to enjoy each other's hobbies and to engage in projects with each other. And none of this is a needy sort of situation where I have to have Jen doing things with me. If she needs some time to herself, great, fine, I understand. And vice versa, if I need time for myself as well. Now, perhaps you say, okay, well, that would be great. I would love to give my spouse that kind of attention, but they won't have that from you right now. They don't want attention from you right now. They say that I just need space. I just need to be away from you right now. I'm going to say that the only reason that they will be saying that is because they do not feel comfortable around you right now. They need relief from you right now. There's been too much needy attention, desperate attention, whiny attention, complaining attention, and they just can't be around that anymore. This is the only reason why real reason why your spouse does not want that attention anymore, why they don't want to be around you, is because they cannot relax around you. They cannot feel calm around you. They cannot feel good around you. And it's generally because I see this time and time again, these little jabs. Well, you're the one leaving. You're the one that's hurting the kids. Why can't you be with me? Why can't we fix this? Why do you have to destroy our family? I need you in my life. And do you see, like, a lot of this is Like, it's a focus on what I need and a focus on what you're doing wrong and why I'm not happy with what you're doing. And that no one's going to want to be around that. Okay, so this is why they're pulling away. This is why they say they don't want, they can't spend time with you. So simple solution is stop chasing them so hard. I would say that this is the paradox that a lot of people have a hard time understanding, that if you want the attention from your spouse, you do need to focus on your own life, living an interesting life, living a happy life, and perhaps politely inviting them to join you in that without pressure, without whining, without complaint if they decline. I think, you know, last week when Heather and I were on the podcast, I talked about like a hypothetical invitation. As you know, I pretended as if I was inviting Heather and her family to join me and my family on an amazing vacation. And in this hypothetical invitation, I described a wonderful situation. And then, you know, I said, I'm going to be going and having this fun anyway. And if you don't want to go, that's fine. If you do want to come, I would love to have you. And, you know, we talked about that for a brief moment, Heather and I, you know, this hypothetical invitation. She said, okay, here's a situation where she has some choice, where it's okay if she accepts, it's okay if she declines. It makes it easy for her to say yes. This is how you're going to get their attention back, by being a good host, by having a life that they want to share with you. And if you are constantly complaining and whining and desperate, they're not going to want to be in that life. Further, they're going to be interested in joining you in your life if they are feeling that attention from you in a positive way. If you're interested in them, if you're making them a priority without being desperate, without being hurt if they don't desperately need you. So if you want to get your spouse's attention before they leave, you need to not need it so much, essentially. And to, you know, create a situation that they would want to step back into. Of course, this is scratching the surface. This is just barely touching on what's actually needed. In many cases, we need to make some adjustments here and there or there. Perhaps we need to set some boundaries. Like I said, none of these solutions that we talk about in the podcast are all-encompassing one solution things that will fix everything. So if you're needing some support, if you're not quite getting the concept, if you're needing some extra help figuring out how to get your spouse back, let us know. Over at our website, www.highthrivecoaching.com, you can apply for a free consultation. So with that said, I would like to talk briefly about our marriage myth buster for today. I always like to relate these myths to the topic of discussion for the week. This week's myth: my children should be the top priority in my life. I will hear this time and time again where, I'm going to just put out the stereotype. This tends to come from the women. Why? It's typically because the women, the wives, tend to be the caregivers. Now, this isn't always the case. Perhaps the father is very, very, very involved, is an amazing father. Great. Those are great situations. And, you know, perhaps it's not even that, you know, it's just that this is the tendency. We all kind of understand it, that men tend to be a little bit more career focused and the responsibilities of the home and children tend to fall on the women, even if they have their own career that they're pursuing. It's not always fair. I do think that that needs to be balanced, but anyways, we're not going to get into that. This is the tendency. So here's the situation. We say, okay, well, the children are the responsibility of the parents. They can't fend for themselves. I need to focus on them. I need to make sure that they are taken care of. And this tends to go a little bit far when we start seeing a few things. When the two parents get on opposite sides of an argument and the child joins one of those sides. As in, you know, we're making parental decisions and, you know, I'm siding with a child against my spouse. I also tend to see that this as a problem when a child's schedule is so full of extracurricular activities, soccer and ballet and gymnastics and football and karate and scouts or whatever it happens to be, that the focus of time basically centers around the child's life, their schooling, their extracurricular activities and everything. Now, I'm not gonna say, you know, completely ignore your kids. While you do have a responsibility to care for them, to feed them, to make sure that they're happy, I'm going to say that if you want a successful marriage, I'm going to even go as far as to say, if you want a successful life while being married, your spouse should have more quality attention from you. They should be a higher priority than your children. That in terms of arguments, 95% of the time, if not more, you and your spouse should be siding with each other. And if anyone has to be on the other side, it should be your child. This might sound really strange or odd because you're saying, okay, well, I love my children. I want them to be happy. But you're not married to your children. Eventually your children will move out of the house. They'll create their own family. You chose your partner and it is your responsibility to make sure that you care for that relationship, because they also have the ability to unchoose you much more easily than, say, your children. I'm just gonna say, you know, in terms of what we've been talking about today, where the children become the top priority is a marriage that will struggle, if not, you know, surely lead to separation or divorce. It's going to be a huge barrier in your relationship. It's going to create situations where dates drop, time together as a couple drops, passion drops, sex becomes less frequent. And unless you have some boundaries that protect your relationship from your children, your children will become a factor that drives a wedge between you and your partner. This is coming strictly from a place of, do I want my marriage to work well? Of course, there may be other factors, many other situations that might call for some different solutions, different opinions. But I'm saying, in general, for the health of the relationship, your marriage should be a priority over your children. Like I said, if you need some help with all of that, let us know. Come get a free consultation. We do have limited spots available. I mean, we are trying to increase that. We are growing, but we do have limited spots available for coaching. So if you are considering it, please take some action on it. Once again, the website is www.highthrivecoaching.com. You can find the links at the top of the page there for getting a consultation. All right. Hope you all have a good week. I think next week we're going to have a surprise topic. I actually don't have it ready right now. So hopefully Heather will be here with me next week. Otherwise, I'll be here. We'll always be here. So have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.